Praise the Lord. Good to have all of you today. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. Those of you that are visiting especially, we're glad to have you. Praise the Lord. We're so grateful that you're with us today. We'll try to teach you so many ways. You'll bound to like one or two of them. You may not like them all, but I got tickled when I was out on GLC the other day, God's Learning Channel out in Odessa. We were making the program, The Light of the Southwest. Tommy, the lady, she introduced me. She said, Thurman is one of our programmers and everybody loves him. And I said, no, Tommy, that's not right. Everybody don't love me. I said, when I step on somebody's sin with the Word of God, they tell me, I've had several of them tell me, I hate you. I don't like you. But I said, that's the same thing they did to Jesus, wasn't it?
That's right.
There was a young man wrote me a letter, and he's way up in north, in the northeast. And he said he was going through deliverance. He learned through our ministry that you can have a demon, even as a Christian. And so he realized this was what the problem was. So he went to somebody up there that does deliverance. And he said, while they were casting these demons out of me, he said, these demons spoke out of my mouth and said, I hate Thurman Scrivener. I thought, wow, isn't that something? Spoke out of this young man's mouth saying, he hates me. Well, it's the demon that was speaking out of his mouth, and praise God, all I got to say about me and the demons, the feeling is mutual. I kind of hate them too. In fact, that's the only thing God said in his word we can hate, is that right? Is evil, and everything else he said we're supposed to love. So anyway, I got a couple of announcements. First of all, today is communion. We will take communion at the end of the service. And everybody that's here, we invite you to take communion with us if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then we have on Easter Sunday, after church on Sunday, after the Easter service, we will have a potluck dinner. Is that right?
Yeah, April 24th.
April the 24th, we'll have a potluck dinner. So we invite you to come and bring your favorite food or whatever. And then we'll all eat together. And then I had another announcement. What was the other one? Huh? Oh, this next Saturday, yes. How could I forget that? This next Saturday is a healing school, you know, from 1 to 5. Second Saturday of every month. And, of course, lately, we have been so blessed that we are almost every healing school recently, we have seen the Lord do some kind of a miraculous thing right there while we're there praying for people. And I love it when he does that, don't y'all? I love to see Jesus. Of course, the last one was that little 13-year-old boy that was colorblind. And when we prayed for him, of course, he had lots of things wrong with him. But when we prayed for him, the Lord completely forgave the boy and healed him. And all of a sudden, this little 13-year-old boy starts looking around the room. He's saying, this is awesome. I said, what, son? He said, I can see colors. And, of course, I knew he was colorblind, and he looked around and said, this is awesome, all the beautiful colors. He's just looking around, wow, look at this stuff. And then he said something I'll never forget. He says, God is really cool. Yes, son, God is really cool. I will have to say, he is really cool. So, anyway, today we're going to talk about some things. You know, of course, now I'll just throw a couple little commercials in here at the beginning of this, so I've heard some information this week, and I don't know if it's true or not. You know, I hear a lot of things. But I've been reading a lot from different financial analysts and people and everything, and all of them are saying the United States is going to default on its debt. And, of course, this morning I watched a little bit of the news between Obama and Boyer, or however you say his name, the guy that's Speaker of the House. Anyway, however you say his name, I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, they can't get together on what they're going to do. So they say, now, I don't know, you know, they may do something between now and Wednesday, but the 6th, if the federal government don't come up with something, they're going to shut down the government. The 6th, next Wednesday. They're talking about shutting down the government and shutting down the banks. Now then, you know, whether this happens or not, I don't know. You know, this is... I know they've threatened to do this a couple of times before, and it has not happened. So, but, you know, so anyway, you might just be concerned, you know, make sure that you've, you know, if you need a little bit of cash at home to run your business, you might ought to go get it out Monday or Tuesday. You know, because if they do this, what they say, Wednesday, they might shut the banks down. Now, of course, you know, I don't know if they're going to do this or not, but, you know, I just feel like I have to warn you that if something happens, you know, if I have this kind of information that there is this possibility that this could happen, and I don't tell you, well, then God holds me responsible. But if I tell you and then it don't happen, well, then okay. And, you know, I know they've threatened this several times in my lifetime to have shut down the government. And it's only happened, I think, once, and it was only 2 days. But, I mean, I know they did shut down the banks one time when FDR was president. And they went in and confiscated everybody's gold out of their safe deposit boxes and everything. And, you know, so the government can do crazy things. They've done it before, and they'll do it again. So I have heard all kinds. In fact, this morning, as I was watching the news, or earlier this morning, on 4 and 5, nobody seems to know what the answer is. They said, you know, we do not know what the answer is to solve the problems. I'm jumping up and down in front of my television and say, hey, look at me, guys, I have your answer. I said, all we got to do is put Jesus Christ first. Do y'all know that's the answer? If we would put Jesus first in everything we do, God would solve all of our problems. But it's like we don't want to put him first. So, but anyway, let me ask you this question. Now, get on to a serious matter here, the Word of God. How many of you would like to be able to hear from God? Some of you won't even hold your hand up then. So, okay. Yes, I want to hear from God. I love hearing from God. I love hearing His voice. I have been so blessed in my life to have heard His voice so many times. And when Dave said a while ago, does anybody have a testimony? I was the first one back there to throw my hand up. I had a good one this week, which I'm going to share with you in a little while. But I had several things the Lord did for me. But to hear His voice, there is some requirements, you know, that's kind of like, you go to work for a company. How many of you would like to have a good job with some company or something like that? You know, I mean, you'd like to have some kind of a good job that paid good money? I mean, most people do. Well, when you go to work for somebody, when you get this job, when you go in, are you required to do anything? Or you just go in and drink soda pop and eat popcorn and go home in 8 hours? That's not the way it is it? If they hire you, they expect you to put in 8 hours, or maybe 9 in 8, right? And if you really work diligently for that company, do you usually get the increases or the raises or the new positions if you're a hard worker? Yeah, that lazy guy don't ever get nothing, does he? I mean, two young men, 25 years old, come to work for a company. One of them says, yeah, I don't like what I do. He grumbles all day long, and the other boy, he says, I come here to work. I'm going to please my boss. Anything he asks me to do, I'm going to do it twice as good as he expects. Well, they go along there for 6 months or a year, and there is a foreman's job comes open, and they say, oh, the boy that was the grumbler and complainer says, that's mine. I need that job, you know. And the guy says, forget it. You're not going to get that job. This boy over here, the worker. The one that always does what I ask him to do. He's the one I'm going to make the foreman and go get the increases in pay. Is that the way it works, God? Yes, that's the way it works. So with God, if you ever want to hear from God, there's some things you've got to do. Let's go to Psalms 42, and let's just, it's only 11 verses, so let's go to Psalms 42, and let's just go down through there and see if you see anything in there that God would like for you to do. Psalms 42, let's just start with verse 1, and let's go to use the NLT, that'll be a good translation. All right, well, we got the King James up there, but that's a good one. Let's just leave that since you've already got it. Verse 1, as the hart panteth, or the deer panteth after the water, the brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. When's the last time that you panted? Like a deer that's been chased by a bear or a dog or a wolf. And you were so out of breath that when you come to a stream of water, you want to lap up that water. You're so thirsty. When's the last time your soul panted to know God better? Most people never do that. They don't do that. It says, my soul thirsteth for you, God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you ever think about coming and appearing before God? Do you think about when you wake up in the morning, God is there waiting for you to tell Him you love Him? You know, but most people never even think about that. But is He? Yes, He is. Yeah, He's right there. You know, He is there. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing should be on your mind is Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, the first, just like Dave did this while ago, you know, some of y'all know the story behind that. Some of you don't. But a few years ago, probably 12 or 15 years ago, I was down at a pretty big church down in North Richland Hills, and there was a little guy came up for prayer. I taught 2 hours. In fact, the man asked me, said, I'd love for you to preach on faith tonight. You think you could make it last an hour? I said, I don't know. I never preached that little. I don't know if I can make it last an hour or not. Now, if you want 2 or 3, that ain't going to be a problem. So anyway, I spoke on faith, and then after I got through speaking, I think I only spoke about 2 hours, whatever, and there was a little short guy from England. He came up, and he had a hand that was like that. It had been that way for 8 years. He'd been in an automobile accident, and it tore this arm all to pieces, and when they sewed it all back together, this is the way, and he could not move those fingers or nothing, just the hand was a club out there. He came up, and he said, Thurman, I wasn't a pastor. I didn't even have a church or nothing. I was just a deacon, a Baptist deacon that was a man that wouldn't preach every once in a while. Somebody had invited me. So he come up and he says, after what I've heard today, do you think that God might heal that hand? I said, no, sir. I don't think He will. I know He will. And I just spoke in the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden His hand went, quick. I'm telling you what, that even startled me. I don't mind telling you. But God, in fact, the next day, he was so awestruck. This guy began to jump around all over the platform and scream and praise God. And, I mean, it was awesome. So I finally told him, I said, sir, I want to make sure I get your name and address. I want to come see you later, tomorrow or something. He said, no problem. So he wrote it down on a piece of paper. And the next day, I went over to his little apartment. He lived in a little bitty tiny one-bedroom apartment. I walked him, knocked a real inexpensive part of town because, you know, he didn't have a very good job because he didn't have a one hand that worked right. I went up and knocked on his door. He said, come in, the door's open. So I opened the door and walked in, and he's sitting right upright in the middle of the bed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thought to myself, Lord, mine has always done that. And I have never said thank you. You see, did we take things for granted? Yes, we take things for granted. You know, that's why when Dave did that a while ago, he said, Lord, I want to thank you that thing works. Now see what Dave didn't tell you, that on the thank you that he's praising God, I went out there in the shop. He had the engine off of that thing. He had to get the horse. He had to pull the engine to put the flywheel back on it. The bolt come out of the flywheel. It was a pretty good test. It wasn't just a little tiny bolt that he'd run up. It didn't take him 5 minutes. He had to pull the engine to get to that bolt. So it was a pretty good test. But was he grumbling and complaining? No, not on your life. He was praising the Lord. And of course, when he got the bolts all tight back in the flywheel and put it back together, cranked it up, he's out there plowing the garden. It's working like a champ. He passed his test. Verse 3 and 4. My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is your God? You know, when you try to be a really dedicated Christian, there'll be somebody come along and say, you fool. There ain't no such thing as God. If He's really God, show me something. Do something. Have you ever seen people like that? No, God ain't real. Oh, yes, He is. He's very real. And when He starts speaking to you, man, that's when it really changes your life forever. But there'll be people that'll tell you, where is God? And when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in Him, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. and with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Verse 5 and 6. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? In me hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. In other words, Dave was praising the Lord even while his tractor was broke. You know, see, that's the difference. Most of us, we fuss and grumble and complain when everything don't go just right, right? And then maybe after we get it fixed and it runs good, well, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. Maybe once or twice and we go on. But it's hard to praise him when something's wrong. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hemorites from the hill Mizah. He's going to remember God everywhere he's at. Verse 7 and 8. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yesterday, twice, I watched some of the latest videos they've made about the tsunami that hit Japan. And I looked at those things from those helicopters and that were flying, and I'm watching a humongous wall of water, 30 feet tall, coming inland. I'm watching this thing. You know, they have told as many people as possible about these waves. They're coming, and they need to get out. But a lot of them didn't. They said there was one little town over there had 30,000 people in it, and they evacuated almost the entire town before the wave got there. And it's a good thing, because when that wave got there, a 30-foot wall of water, a wall of water that's about 8 foot taller than the top of this church. How would you like to be standing down here and seeing a wall of water like that coming in at you? You know, I watched that thing wash away complete cities. I watched that thing come in and just turn into a pile of debris for miles. It washed away cars, boats, bridges, railroad. It washed away bridges, everything. It's unbelievable, you know, the devastation that this was. I just thought, wow. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Now then, if you and I are serving God and putting him first and loving him and calling unto him and praising him and worshiping him, I guarantee he will show you things to come. In other words, it's very possible that if you had been one of those people, if you'd have been a person over there in Japan, when the earthquake happened, God could have spoke to you if you'd have been one of his dedicated children and told you exactly what to do and where to go. And you could have jumped in your car and you could have went somewhere and you could have been totally set free. But if you're not one of God's children, and that's what's wrong with the nation of Japan, they almost all Buddhist over there. Almost none of them know the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, it's getting to where there's not a whole lot of places in the world where they do know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Even Israel doesn't know God as Lord and Savior. I mean, you know, it's amazing. There's so few people. Most of the people that were Christians were left in the United States of America, and now then we're getting to the point where most of us don't even know him no more. I mean, it's amazing. It really is amazing when you stop and look at what is going on in the United States of America. And so, well, it's just terrible. I mean, from the very top office in the nation down. Verse 9 and 10. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Have you ever felt like that? That when you prayed and you asked God and you didn't hear from him and you think, Lord, where? What's going on? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is your God? You know, if you walk in obedience to God's word, you do everything he says, and you know, it's amazing how that after I learned who God was and he started speaking to me 30 years ago, whenever I started realizing how awesome God was, and I started getting his word and started hiding his word in my heart, it wasn't long that the miracles that followed me and the healings and the answers to prayer, nobody asked me the question, where is your God? They all knew I was attached to the Most High God. People would come and track me down to pray for them. Isn't that amazing? So if he did that for me, in other words, if you walk holy and obedient to God's word, people will know. In fact, I remember one time whenever they had sold our company and I was moved over to this last corporation I worked for a few years there. We were going to get a new contract with a certain company there. And whenever the main man with that company, he said, who is the head engineer over there? And the guy said, oh, Thurman Scrivener. Oh, he said, Thurman Scrivener. He said, boy, do I know him. He said, what do you know about him? Is he hard to get along with? He said, he's the greatest man of God I ever met in my life. He said, I guarantee if you hadn't heard about Jesus, 5 minutes after they turn you loose there, he'll be talking to you about Jesus. Now, is that the way all of us should be? As Christians, that's the way we should be. That's absolutely what the Lord says. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now that if we praise him and we worship him and we do everything he says, we don't have to worry about it. You know, he's going to keep you healthy. He's going to bless you. And you're going to have everything you possibly need. He can answer every prayer. Now let's go to Psalms 63, verses 1 through 11. I want to go down through those right quick. Psalm 63. Use these in the NLT. Put these up in the NLT this time. Let's read this one. Psalm 63, and verses 1 through 11 in the NLT. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Now, is that a description of you and God? Or are you looking for him? Most people in the church are not looking for him. They don't go out and diligently say to the Lord, Lord, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. He said, oh, you do? That's strange to me. I didn't know nothing about it. You're not searching for me. If you had been, you would have found me. I have seen you in our sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. When's the last time you saw God operate in a sanctuary? If you've been here ladies at a healing school, you've got to see him do something. We have seen God do awesome things in this little place. Awesome things. I love seeing him do wonderful things. Don't you, Richard? Absolutely. I love seeing God do wonderful things for his children. I mean, we've seen him set people free. We've seen him heal people. I mean, everything. I know, just like Dave, you know, when Dave said, talk about casting that demon out of that boy, you know, he was on the other end of that girl out there in Silver City, New Mexico, holding her feet down, you know, when we had, for 7.5 hours, we're fighting with 2,800 demons in a woman, in a beautiful little Christian girl. And she had opened the door through sin when she was a young woman, and let all these demons in. And that after we had been there 7.5 hours, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, in about an hour, I've got to preach tonight. I said, Lord, when is this going to be over? And he said a resounding statement to me. He said, son, I'm a faith God. It's going to be over when you believe it's over. Now, why do you think Dave was so bold when he said, you know, I'm going to cast this demon out of you. There ain't going to be no manifestations. It's not going to see anything. I'm going to remit your sins. They're going to be remitted. When I command this demon to go, he's out of here. See, Dave had to believe that in his heart. He learned that out there with me out there in Silver City, New Mexico. You know, but we fought those demons for hours, and I could not get them last four demons. They absolutely refused to go because there was just a little bit of doubt in my heart. When the Lord says, when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. In other words, when you believe it's done, it's done. Boy, that's all I needed to hear from the King. I heard His voice. He spoke to me. Don't you love it when God speaks to you? And so we got that little girl delivered, and she got set free. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. I mean, you know, in any time we're in a... where is the sanctuary that He lives in, Tom? That's right. Tom's got... He pointed to His own heart right there. He said, this is where my God dwells. This is the sanctuary where He lives, right here. So He ought to be doing great things through you from your sanctuary, shouldn't He, Tom? He ought to be, and He does through Tom. Tom, God does wonderful things for Tom. Verse 3 and 4, He says here, your unfading love is better to me than life itself. How I praise you, I will honor you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Now, I think about lifting up your hands in prayer. When God convicted me as a Southern Baptist deacon and a Sunday school teacher, that I needed to raise my hands. I always sit on the front row. Why did I sit on the front row in a Baptist church? Because I was always the last one there, and everybody starts at the back and fills up to the front. And so there was only one place left, and it was always the front row. So I always had to sit on the front row. Well, when God began to convict me that I needed to raise my hands, I thought, Lord, I need to start sitting on the back, you know, where nobody can see me. But Lord, no, son, you're on the front. And I remember when He convicted me enough that I finally got one hand up right here in front where nobody could see it. How well did I know Him then, Tom? Not very well. That's exactly right. But finally, I got to the point where I could raise one hand up a little, then finally got to where I could raise it up a little higher. Then I finally got to where, hey, who cares? I'm trying to please Jesus, you know. I could care less what anybody else says. And so, and then, of course, when I had that little woman that I met in the post office that day, we'd already moved into the new Baptist church over here, and she said, oh, Thurman, she said, how are you doing today? And I said, how do you know me? And I said, I don't know you. She said, well, you go to the Baptist church, and we go to the Baptist church. I said, well, I've never seen you there. I said, have you been going long? Well, she said, a few months. But I said, well, I've never met you. And so she told me who she was and everything. And I said, why is it, since I've never met you, why have you singled me out? How do you know me? And she said, well, because of my son. I said, what's your deal with your son? She said, I have a 10-year-old son. And she says, I'm a single mom, and I have a 10-year-old son. And said, you always sat on the front. I said, well, yeah, that's true. And she said, one day we were in church there, and we were singing and praising the Lord, and said, you had both hands up. And I said, yes. She said, that's the way you always do things. And she said, I thought it strange that you were the only one in that Baptist church that raised your hands when we sing. The only one. And so she said, one day my little son was standing there beside me. He said, Mama, what is wrong with that man over yonder on the front? And she said, what man? She said, the one that's got his hands up. And she said, well, I don't guess there's anything wrong with him. He said, well, then why does he have his hands up? She said, well, I guess he loves Jesus more than the rest of us. So she said, in a few minutes, we're singing another song, and all of a sudden, my little son is looking at you with your hands up, and he raises both his hands. 10-year-old boy. I thought, you know, somebody's watching you all the time. You know that? And I can't think of a better way to be known by the young people as that. Look at that man over there. It's a man of God. A woman of God. Is that the way we want to be remembered? Amen. Absolutely. He says, I will honor you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. That's what I want to do. I want everybody to know. I want Jesus to know that I love Him. And I want everybody else to know that I love Him. And I want them to know that He loves them too. And that they can live in this wonderful place with God. And He'll speak to them also. Verse 5 and 6. You satisfy me more than the richest of foods. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. When's the last time you did that? Last night? I hope. You satisfy me more than the richest of foods. Now then, let me ask you a question. This, I hope this don't offend anybody. If I were to invite you to the most scrumptious meal this afternoon you could possibly ever dream of, and I say this is going to be a one-time deal, or we can take this afternoon and go fast and pray for a couple of hours, which one of these are you going to take? I got a feeling most of you are going to take the food. Is that right, Kim? Is that the way we are? Yes, that's the way we are. You know, but we shouldn't. We should take the fasting. In fact, that I had a Church of Christ. Dave was talking about Church of Christ a while ago. I had a group from the Church of Christ in Gainesville, Texas, about a three-hour drive south of here. They listened to me on the radio down there, and they brought a whole bunch, 10 or 12 people from the Church of Christ to a healing school. And when they came, one of them was an actual medical doctor, a PhD, a regular general practice doctor. And they stayed for the healing school, and then after the healing school was over, they stayed about 3 more hours and asked questions after I prayed for everybody. So we were there till late at night. And he asked me how I walked in this anointing with God and got to see God answer so many of my prayers and all this stuff. And I explained some of these things to him. You got to seek the Lord. You know, you got to talk to him. You got to praise him. You got to worship him. You got to not be ashamed of him. I told him a lot of these things that the Psalms talks about. And so they left and went back home. And when they got back home, the very next day, of course, was Sunday. Had a healing school on Saturday. He said, as I'm walking into the church, there comes a youth leader and his wife. And I just told him, I said, are you two still trying to have that baby? And they said, well, yeah. You know, of course, they'd been to him for, you know, 3 or 4 times for trying to find out why she can't get pregnant and they not able to have a child. They'd been married several years, 8 or 10, whatever it was. He said, are you two still trying to have a baby? And he said, well, yes, we are. And he said, no luck, huh? Not yet. He said, well, let me tell you, my faith is higher right now than it's ever been in my life. He said, I just spent about 8 hours with a man of faith yesterday. He said, I want you to come over here right now. We're going to remit y'all's sins. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you according to Mark 11:23, and I'm going to guarantee you God's going to make you pregnant. Now, that's pretty bold coming out of the mouth of a Church of Christ, isn't it? That's pretty bold coming out of the mouth of any Christian. He said, I went over there. We prayed the prayer of faith for them, and she said in about 3 months, she called me and said, Doctor, I think I'm pregnant. He said, well, come down and I'll run the test for you. And he said, I run the test and said, you're pregnant. So he said, total of 9 months later, they had a beautiful, bouncing baby boy. So now then, when you do something in faith, does God care what denomination you are? No. You got to seek him, worship him, praise him, and thank him. He don't care as long as you know Jesus. This man, he says, you satisfy me more than the richest of foods. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Then let's go to verse 7 and 8. I think how much you have helped me. I sing for joy in the shadow of your protecting wings. I follow close behind you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. When's the last time you told the Lord these things? Lord, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. I thank you for taking care of me. I thank you for being my healer, my deliverer, my provider. I praise you and worship you for all things, Lord. Somebody says, you go down the street or saying these kind of things out loud, people will give you plenty of room. Hey, that's good. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. I am only trying to please him, not them. I want him to know that I love him, seriously. 9 and 10. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. Now, if you've got an enemy that's trying to kill you, what's going to happen to him? He's going to get his. That's all I can say. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. Now, do you want to be the food of a jackal? Well, if you worship and praise God and you're on his side, he's going to make your enemies like that, right? And he's going to take care of it. Verse 11. But the king will rejoice in God. All who trust in him will praise him, while liars will be silenced. God loves for you to praise him. He loves for you to wake up in the morning. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you that I woke up this morning, Lord. And if nothing else, like little Will, Lord, thank you that I can open and close my hand. If you haven't done that lately, you might ought to start doing that. You know, you might say, Lord, thank you that that thing works. You know, it's really something when it don't work. You know that? You know, you don't know how to... I was just over there putting some wire and pipe and stuff in a ditch, and I was down in the ditch with one leg all rolled around under me, sitting down in that ditch, and I'd been sitting there for a long time hooking up wires and everything. And when I finally got through, I went to stand up, and wow! That leg didn't want to work very good for a little while. I'd been sitting on it too long. And, of course, the man that was there with me, he said, you know, I wondered how long you were going to be able to sit on that leg like that. He said, there's no way I could have even got down in that ditch like that, much less sat on my leg all that time. I said, well, with me, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Nothing is difficult when you're a son of God. Then let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to show you some things in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we can do if we worship and praise the King. I mean, this some of the most awesome promises in God's Word. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of you who share the same precious faith we have. Faith given to us by Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, who makes us right with God. Now, if you let that soak in, we are partakers of this like precious faith that Peter had. He's the writer of this book. What kind of faith did Peter have? Did he have great faith? Oh, let me tell you about a little story in the book of Acts about Peter and John. I mean, Peter walks up there one morning, and there's a guy sitting there, a handicapped guy. He's carried out there every day and sat down at the foot, the steps of the temple. And he says, I need some money. I need money, 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 money. Peter walked up to him and said, I don't have no money. What I got's better than money. Yeah. Now see, that's what you and me got. That same power that Peter had, we have that, and what we have is far better than money. That guy said, what do you mean? He said, let me show you. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Do you know that same thing's available to you and me today? Did you know almost nobody today believes that? If you have never done that in your life, then you don't know that's available to you. But that man looked up and Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the guy looked up and he, what? Peter said, did you hear what I said? I mean, he reached down, grabbed that guy's hand and said, I said, get up. And he jerked him up. And when he jerked that man up, man, he come up running and playing right there. Running up and down the steps of the temple, praising and worshiping God. And of course, in a few minutes, then Peter and John, they're inside, and the Sadducees and Pharisees said, how did you do this? He said, you know, we did it in the name of Jesus. They said, never again, never, ever, ever, ever will you ever speak the name of Jesus again. Now, does that sound just like somebody else we know today? Is that enemy still out here today? Yes, he is. He's trying to shut you up as Christians. And let me tell you, he's shut most of us up. He has literally shut us up. We're more afraid of the devil and his troops than we are of God. And the Lord give us all these wonderful, special, awesome promises. Now let's look at this. May God bless you with his special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. How do you come to know Jesus Christ better and better? Yeah, that's right, Kim. You got to get in that book, right, Scott? And if you spend a lot of time in the Word, you get to where you know who he is real well, don't you? Then you can start standing on his promises. Verse 3 and 4. Let's go a little further here. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. Now, then, wait a minute. What did it say his divine power gives us? What? So there's not anything we're short on, is there? Okay, now, right here, I'm going to tell you about my wonderful little testimony. Cheryl and I have a little safe that we use to keep little papers and things in, and it's got one of them digital locks on the front of it. Some of you may have them. You know what I'm talking about. Ours has been giving us a little trouble lately. It don't want to lock. So Cheryl messes with it and messes with it, and sometimes I just give up, and I think, oh, well, I might as well just leave the title laying on top of it. You know, you can't lock it anyway. So anyway, but she usually keeps messing with it till she gets it to lock. And then, of course, it locks. And then, of course, when you come back, you put the code in it, and it clicks, and you can open it again. But yesterday, she had a problem with it, and it was not going to close. She could not get it to close. So the other day, she saw me do something. I told her, I said, well, on the inside, it's got a red button. And when you push that button, it clears the code. So now then you can put in a new code. So whatever you've put in, so I said, let's try it again and try another code and see if it'll lock. So we did, and it locked. I said, okay, no problem, that's it. Well, yesterday, when she was trying to deal with this thing, she thought, well, okay, since it worked for Thurman, I will do that too. So she hit the clear button and cleared the code. Now then, the one little thing that she didn't get, how many of you women have ever told your husband something and you know your husband didn't hear what you said? Any of you women ever told your husband something you know he didn't hear you? Oh, always. Here's a girlfriend that says, always. Well, Cheryl told me that the other day. I did something, and she says, you never listen to what I say. I mean, I didn't do something she wanted me to do, and she just said, you never listen to what I say. Well, she was so convinced that I never hear what she says, but now I'm going to tell you, there's times when your wife don't hear everything you say either, because she missed that little thing about when you hit the clear button, and you put whatever numbers you punch in it, then that's the new code. So if you just clear the button and go out there and say, toot, 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 hit a bunch of buttons, you put a code in that thing. Now then, she hit the buttons and she opened it, and it opened, of course, the first time. Now then, when she closed it again, it locked. Now she tries to open it, and she can't open it. It will not open. She tries everything. She finally called me and said, honey, I can't get in the safe. Oh, the next day? Okay, so next day she said, I can't get in the safe. I said, okay, so I go over there, I push in the code, and it gives me a funny signal at the end. I said, uh-oh, we got a new code in there. The old one's not the same one. Oh, yeah, she said, I reset the button, and I put in a new one. I said, so what did you put in? And she said, well, I think I put in this. I said, honey, thinking don't work. You have to know exactly what you did. Well, she couldn't remember. I said, well, praise God. I said, now let me think about this a minute. They said that there was another key. Let's see, where did I put that key? And there was a plate somewhere that you could take off and you could stick a key in. And if you had the right key, you could open it with a key. I said, okay, what did I do with that key? And all of a sudden I thought, okay, I remembered a drawer somewhere. I went over and Cheryl said, no, you put it in the closet. I said, no, honey, I don't think so. I think I put it in a drawer. So I started looking through the drawers and I found the key. Okay, here's the key. I remember this is it. So I go over there now, and I try to stick it in there. And, of course, it's Chinese made, and the key will not go in the slot. It will not go in there. So I mess with this thing, what, honey, an hour? I mess with this thing an hour. I'm trying to cut the inside off. It's a round key, so I'm trying to trim it out where it'll go over there, and I cannot get that key where it'll go in there. She said, what are we going to do? I said, I guess we'll get a blowtorch out, you know. Got to cut this thing open, but it probably burned up everything we got in it anyway. So I said, no. Well, she's over saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, please give my husband knowledge and wisdom. She's praying. I mean, now, is she doing the right thing?
Yes.
Absolutely, she's doing the right thing. And, of course, she's praying out loud, and I'm kind of lightly saying, now, Lord, if there was ever a time I got to have some help. You know, I said, Lord, I don't have a clue what code my wife put in or how many buttons they are. I don't have a clue. But I said, Lord, I know you was right there with her when she pushed in buttons, and I know you know what code she put in it. So I said, Lord, I got to have some help. I ain't saying a word out loud. I'm just silently praying to the Lord while I'm trying to get this key in there. And all of a sudden, the Lord, just like that, I said, okay, I took it out. I turned around there, and I reached up and hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 numbers. 7. And I turned it, and it unlocked just like that. Now, how many of you think that I just did that as an accident? Do you think the possibility of me getting 7 numbers on a keypad in the exact right order the first time and that thing opened was a coincidence? No. It had to be given to me by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? All of us in this room are smart enough to know that if I were to, that's just, first of all, normally when I put code numbers in a safe, I don't hardly ever put over 3 to 5 in there because that's too many numbers to remember. I mean, maybe 3, maybe 4, maybe 5, but never more than 5. You know, I mean, because that's too many numbers to remember. And so when Cheryl reset that code, she went out there and just started pushing buttons. Click, 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 and hit 7 buttons. And of course, that's the new code. And so when she hit the, it unlocked because she hit the right one. And now then, once she closed it again and locked it again, now you got to come up with that same sequence of numbers which she don't know what she put in. No, honey, I ain't smart at all. I ain't taking no glory for that at all. We have a God that's so got smart, right? He is so awesome. And when we worship Him and praise Him and we thank Him, will He put you to the test? Oh, yeah, He gave me at least an hour to stand there and to mess with that thing, work with it. He could have told me right up front, very first thing. But He didn't make it so easy, did He?
No.
See, He's sitting there saying, I wonder how long it's going to take before you get upset, son. When are you going to start hitting on the front of this safe with a hammer, huh? Or when am I going to start yelling at my wife? But see, I never did. I will have to say that after I got it open, I said, okay, now let's push it and put a new code in. Well, both of us know what it is. Let's put a new code in. I told her, I said, hey, will you make me a promise? She said, yes, I already know what it is. I will never push that red button again, ever. I said, well, praise God. Because when you push the red button, there's a deal on the front side comes on and says, select. In other words, you select the buttons you want. And when you hit, if you hit 2 buttons, 3 buttons, 5 buttons, whatever you hit, then you got to know what you hit so that once you lock that, that's the code that's set. And next time you go to open it, you got to know the exact sequence. If you put 1, 2, 3, 4 in there, if you put it in that order, if you put 4, 3, 1, whatever, you got to remember what you put in there or you ain't never going to get in that safe again. And just think, she hit 7 different numbers. 7. She just pushing buttons. She wasn't even paying attention. She was just hitting numbers and she wanted it to close. Well, it did. Now we got it closed and we got it locked forever. You know, and like I say, after about an hour of staying there, Lord, I got to have some help. There is no way. I said, Lord, this key. I said, if I have ever been tested, here I am. I supposedly have a almost brand new safe that I've got. But I said, Lord, one thing I am going to grumble about, it was made in China. I said, Lord, you need to give them people some knowledge and wisdom about these Chinese people because they don't have a lot of knowledge and wisdom about how to build things. You know, I used to, as an engineer, I bought a lot of equipment in my life from American manufacturers. Did you know I have got battery chargers and tools and stuff in my shop that I have had for 50 years and they still work? 50 years! But they were all made in the United States of America. I remember when Japanese started building things. Y'all remember when the Japanese first started building things? You buy something, it'd work for a month or a week or whatever and then it'd break and say, oh my gosh, it's made in Japan. Yeah, but the Japanese got over that. They became wonderful engineers, and they built good quality stuff. You know, I mean, used to buy a Japanese car, and man, if you drove that thing 10 or 20,000 miles before something broke, you were lucky. But now you buy a Japanese car, they warranty them for 10 years. You know, and you can drive them for years and not even have to work on them. We really built some good stuff. They do, but the Chinese hasn't reached that point yet. Has anybody besides me bought anything made in China lately that didn't last very long? I mean, from a shoe? Yeah. I mean, I have quit. I love to wear tennis shoes. I go to Walmart and buy me a pair of tennis shoes. Maybe I get 4 weeks out of them, 5 weeks, and the soles are coming off. You know, they're tore all to pieces. Made in China. So I thought, okay, I'm not going to buy nothing else. In fact, I told Cheryl when we was having trouble with that safe, I said, this is it. This is my last thing. I bought some drills from Chinese that cost $20 a piece, and I could do one building, and the stripped out, motor stripped out, gear stripped out, you throw it away. Or you go down and pay $30 for one that's made in the United States of America, and so I have some of those that I've used for years and years and years, and they're still running. Isn't that amazing? So which one's the cheapest? The one made in the United States of America. You know, so if you can find it, you really got to look to find things. But just think, the Lord is telling us here, He says, by this divine power, His divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. Everything. He didn't cut us short nowhere as His children. He has called us to receive His own glory and goodness. And by that same mighty power, He has given us all of His rich and wonderful promises. How many? All of those promises are for you and me as children of God. Why does those promises not work for most people? Because they either don't know them or they're living in sin. See, when you're living in sin, the promises of God, they don't work. They don't work, you know. And so if you're not obeying God, these wonderful promises won't work. The chances of Him speaking to you, in other words, if you had been a Christian that was lying, say your sin is you like to lie a lot, so your sin is lying. In other words, if you're a liar and you were in my shape there, you would have still been trying to get into that safe. You know that? Because God would have never spoken to you. He might have spoken to you, but you wouldn't have been able to hear Him. You would not have been able to hear Him. So I just thought to myself, here I am, standing there in front of that safe, messing with that thing for an hour, trying to get in. My lovely wife sitting there saying, oh, Lord, please give him knowledge and wisdom to get into that safe. Because see, here's where she's at. She thinks, in just a minute, if he don't get in, he's going to scream at me. Now, do we do things like that? Yeah. Oh, yes, we do. Yeah, you know, people do that. We scream at our mates, you know. And Cheryl used to think when I talked normal, you know, I was screaming. But now that she's got over that, she's rallied. I got a coarse voice. So now then, she never says that anymore. Used to, every time I'd say, what'd you say, honey? She said, you screamed at me. I said, honey, I didn't scream at you. I just need you to talk a little louder so I can hear what you're saying. You know, but she thought I was screaming at her. Well, now I can talk to her, laugh, and cut up, and talk loud as I want to, and ain't never a problem. So I told her, if I ever scream at you, woman, you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know what it is when I scream. You'll know it. I said, I remember one time with Timothy, I screamed at Tim. You use a manly voice all the time. But one time we were going to do something, and Tim was fixing to do something that he was fixing to get hurt. He's going to fall off of something. And I hollered, Timothy! Boy, when I did, he stopped dead still. I said, good, come over here. He turned around. He said, Dad, I never heard you scream. I said, you never started to step off of a wall like that either. You didn't get hurt. But I said, I knew you were fixing to step off of there. So I screamed. I wanted to make sure he heard me. Now, you think God will scream at you? He don't have to scream at you. When He talks to you, if He wants to get your attention, if you're walking in obedience to His Word, there's nothing between you and Him. So He don't have to hear. He don't have to talk very loud. He can just say, Scott, I need you to do this. And you'll hear that. There's no problem. He'll tell you. But look at these promises. And by that same mighty power, He has given us all of His rich and wonderful promises. He's given all of these to us. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires and that you will share in His divine nature. Now then, if I walk in obedience to His Word and do what He says, if I walk in His divine nature or His divine power, what can I do as a son of God with that nature? What do you think God's nature is? You think God's loving and kind? You think I can be loving and kind? So If do you think God's ever sick? Do you think I can go through life without being sick? If I walk in obedience to His Word. And then let's say I need something like getting into my safe. Now if my lovely bride is sitting there, Lord, please give him knowledge and wisdom. Now then, if she knows those promises and she's asking God, do I have to be praying too? No, I don't have to be praying. Does she have a direct line to the Father in the name of Jesus? Sure she does. She's praying for her husband. Can she pray for her husband?
Yes.
Sure she can. Does she have a direct line to the Father in the name of Jesus? Yes, she does. So she's sitting there saying, Lord, of course I'm praying too, but I'm praying silently because she's praying out loud. I said, Lord, please. And she just, I mean, she's so sincere with God. Lord, please give my husband knowledge and wisdom and whatever it takes to get into that safe. Lord, please. And then all of a sudden, I did not hear a voice. I just knew what the numbers were. Isn't that amazing how God can do things? I just pulled that key out that I've tried to get in there. I just pulled the key out and I reached up and went bam, 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 bam. Seven numbers. And I could go back right now and tell you exactly those same seven numbers. I know where I started and where I stopped. God indelibly burned that into my circuits. When I hit those seven, when at the seventh one I heard it click, I said, that's it. Turned the knob and it opened. Oh, yes, we did. Bessie Cheryl, she's jumping over there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing my husband how to open and save. Well, see, now she knows I ain't going to be upset with her, right? Now I take her out to dinner or something. I'm so happy I got the safe open. See, praise the Lord. Now then, what kind of power did God give us as His children if we walk in obedience to His Word? All power. All. All we got to do is ask. And ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's a secret. When we think about this, let's go to verse 5 and 6 right quick. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Think about this. Make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your Father will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. How can living a moral life bring you to a better knowledge of who God is? He will reveal more to you if you're walking pure and holy, right? Yeah. In other words, if you've got a rebellious child, and the child comes in and says, Dad, I need $50 to go out drinking with my friends tonight. I'm sure that a good daddy would just reach in his pocket and hand that rebellious son $50 and say, go have a good time, get drunk. You don't think so? No, I wouldn't either. You know? So does that sound a little bit like God does us? I mean, if we're going to use His power in a bad way, do you think He's going to share it with us? No, huh? Until you decide, I want the Lord. Lord, I want You. I want to do everything I do. I want it to glorify You. He says, hey, we're getting somewhere now. I will share my power with you. You walk in love, walk in obedience to His Word. And He says, okay, I will. He's telling us what He does here if we walk in obedience to His Word. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. I don't know about you, but I want to know God better. The more I can know about Him, the better I like it. I mean, He is, I know He's infinite. He's beyond knowing everything about Him. He says, knowing God leads to self-control. When somebody says, in fact, how many people do I deal with that has all these different spirits of everything? Anger, rage, bitterness, rebellion, you know, just all kinds of stuff. Why is it that those people cannot be in control? They don't know God. They don't know who He is. When you know Him, you will be in control. If you don't know Him, some people say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I know Him. No. Going to church every Sunday won't never teach you about God. You got to get in the Word. You got to spend time with the Lord. He says, so make every effort. Then he says, knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. These are the attributes that you will take on as you begin to know God better and better. Verse 7 and 8. It says there, godliness leads to love for other Christians. Stop and think about that. If you don't have godliness in you, it's real easy just to treat anybody bad. Is that true? You know, men and women, they don't know what love is, you know. When a young man and a young woman get married, is it usually that awesome love, real, the God kind of love that brings that couple together? Now, what is it that brings a couple together? Lust. Sure, it's lust. It's lust. I mean, you know, if there was no such thing as sexual lust, most young boys and young girls both would never get married. I mean, you know, I can do everything else for myself. Why do I need him? You know? Or why do I need her? But it's that sexual desire that brings a couple together. Because God, don't you think God knew all that? Sure he did. He knows all that. That's why he made us like he did. Because, see, just think. When he made the man and the woman, he made them both in one frame. Isn't that something? And God made them, male and female, made he them. But we only got one man. And then one day he said, Adam says, Lord, I mean, all the animals have got a mate. I don't have nobody. He said, yeah, you do. She's in you. He said, but I want to be able to hold her on the outside. I want to talk to her. Well, he said, okay. So he put him to sleep and took the woman out of him. And, of course, it wasn't long. He said, Lord, you should have left her in there. See, God says, you can't be happy. No matter what I do, you can't be happy. Because, I mean, you stop and look at what happened there. When the Lord came, just right after he had taken them apart and yet put them back together, but as two, but yet one, when he come to the garden visiting the two of them, he says, where are you two? What's wrong? Have you eaten of the tree? Yes, Lord. Adam, what have you done? Adam, what have you done? He said, Lord, it was that woman that you gave me. Is that the way we are today? Yeah. Oh, sure. We had never changed. And, of course, the Lord said, well, then, you know, my dear, what did you do? And she said, Lord, it wasn't me. It was the serpent. He was the one that beguiled me. And then the Lord says, what'd you do? And the devil says, well, ain't nobody else to go. So I guess it's me. He said, you're going to be cursed and you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust all of your life. And you're going to bear children in pain and suffering. And I'm going to put a curse on you, and you're going to be cursed from the ground the rest of your life. Woo, that was a big one, wasn't it? But praise God, he broke all that curse now for us, didn't he? So we don't have to, under the new covenant, we don't have to live there anymore. But unless we don't know it, if we don't know it, we're still under those curses. The more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to become productive with the knowledge I have about God. I want to be able to change people's lives. I want to see people get saved, healed, and delivered. Don't you? So, to get all this to work for you when you go back to the Psalms, what's the first thing you need to meditate on? Jesus. That's right. You need to meditate on Jesus. You need to meditate on him driving down the road in your car. You need to meditate on him when you sit down to eat dinner. You know, there's some people that are Christians sit down and they never, ever, ever even say, thank you, Lord, for the food. Never bless anything. Just eat. You know, God says for us to thank him and praise him for everything. And so if we do it, it changes the way we do business. Now in verse 9 and 10. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind. In other words, if you don't learn these things, you're blind, or at least you're very short-sighted, and you have already forgotten that God has cleaned them from their old life of sin. Now then, if you remember forever, like little William that day that I walked into his apartment when he's sitting up there in the middle of bed doing this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Because for 8 years he had not been able to do that. You know, so if you had not been able to move, if that thing had been locked like this, I mean, his hand looked like a claw. And I said, what happened? He said, I was in a car wreck 7 years ago, and I've been like this for, it's eight tendons or what it was. Anyway, 7 or 8 years, seven tendons or 8 years, one way or the other, was a seven and an eight. I don't remember exactly which one was which. But he said, I've been like this ever since that wreck. Do you think Jesus will heal me? I said, no, I know he will. Now, what is it that moves the hand of God? Faith. That's exactly right. Faith after love, right? So if you walk in love and you reach over and touch your hands on somebody, just think, you can reach over and put your hand on somebody and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And what can God do? He can do it. I guarantee. And that's exactly what he did for that little guy that night, William. I mean, he healed that hand. I mean, like I say, I hadn't seen a lot of supernatural things at that time, not just instantly. Most of the miracles I'd seen was God was healing people for me, but most of them it took a little while for them to get healed. But to see him that night open that man's hand. Of course, I went to Steve Blake. I hadn't seen Steve Blake in years, but I went to Steve. He was next, and he was sitting there, and he had a 10-year-old son, and he was a kind of a big, heavy-duty guy, you know, probably just a, maybe a little bit overweight or whatever, but he had a serious back trouble for years. And I went up and I said, Steve, I knew him. He had already been introduced to me. I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, I got back problem. I said, let me lay my hands on your back. And I reached over and laid my hand on his back, and he said, Thurman, the pain all went away. You know, first thing you want to say is, you don't mean it. Is that the first thing we want to say? Yes, that's the first thing we want to say. You don't mean it. But no, you can't say that. You got to say, I guarantee you he'll do it for you. And then you got to believe that in your heart. And God healed Steve Blake that night. And Steve, I mean, I kept up with him for a long time. I haven't seen them now, Steve. I think his wife's name was Laura. I haven't seen them in years. But last time I saw them, Steve was still completely, totally healed. Isn't that awesome that what God does? But he says here, for those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted, they have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. When you got saved, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how many of your sins that you had committed up to then did he forgive? All of them. I mean, you were clean. You put on a white robe. There, he washed it in his blood, and that thing turned out to be beautiful and white. Now then, what we do as Christians, the very next thing we do is go out to see how many black spots we can get on our robe. Is that right? Yeah, we go out and start sinning again. You're doing all kinds of crazy things, and every time we sin, it's like a big mud ball's thrown at you, splot, you know, and you get a black spot on your robe. Now then, there's only one can take that black spot away. When you repent of that sin, Jesus can remove that and make your robe again white as snow. I'm sure that he must be really busy over the years taking our black spots off of our robes. And then some of us will die with a lot of those black spots on there because we never repent of our sin. But don't let the enemy do that to you. When you have a sin, you confess that sin. When you confess it, how many times do you have to confess it? One. That's right. And then it's gone forever. He washes it. It's done forever. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away. Sharon, do you want to be a backslider? You want to stumble and fall away? So you're going to keep putting the Word of God in your heart, aren't you, girl? By putting the Word of God in your heart, you'll always be strong, loving, kind, and you won't never fall away. That's the way we want to be, right? Praise the Lord. This 2 Peter is an awesome chapter. If you really meditate on just the scriptures that we have talked about today, you will see it. Take that home and open those and read those again. Read those again. If any of you need one, I've got some little NLTs over there, little Bibles right there. And if you haven't read an NLT, get you one of those before you go home. Take it with you and read an NLT. We give you one. But some people only have the King James Bible, and sometimes it's very hard to read the King James. But the NLT is very good. It's the New Testament, and it's in plain English, and they're sitting right over there on that little, right there by the, where the giving box is, a little table. But whenever it becomes a reality to you that Jesus has forgiven me, He's washed away every sin that I've ever committed, that He is, all the promises of God are mine, and I can stand on those. If I have those and I can stand on those promises, do I have any concern if my mate's standing beside me praying and saying, Lord, please give him the information he needs to open that safe? Isn't that amazing? I thought to myself, all of a sudden, as I'm trying, and the key ain't working. I cannot get it in there. And then all of a sudden, just a series of numbers come into my head. And I just reached over, bam, 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 hit seven numbers in a series, and bam, it opened that safe. Now, if she'd only put four in there, you know how long it would have probably taken me to figure out which one of those four? I never would have figured out, would I, Richard? No, I never would have. But for seven? And to hit it the first time? Oh, I know, I'm just good, huh? Yeah, sure. I do have the good one living inside of me, right? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And if you've got a mate standing beside you praying and asking the Lord to give me the information, bam, He put those numbers right in my head. I pushed those buttons and that safe opened. Wow. Is He an awesome God? He's an awesome God. Now, how much of that power does He give to us? Isn't that amazing? All of it. We really don't believe Him, do we? Okay, praise the Lord. Here's a girl up here that says she believes Him. I hope you're the same way.